This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Each week we have a great guest on with us, Jim Carafano, who joins us from the Heritage Foundation. He's an expert in national security and foreign policy challenges facing the United States. Jim, great to have you back. Hope you're doing well.
I am doing well because I'm on the Annie Fry show.
Yes, I mean, love to hear that. Yeah, is that fake news? I hope that's not fake news. We're looking at all of this stuff that's happening on a national scale. We're looking at people, you know, unrest over these statues. We're looking at COVID cases spiking. But meanwhile, there's a lot of other things going on right now. Like, for instance, Iran issuing an arrest warrant for the president of the United States. What in the world is going on here?
Yeah, so many things I would like to talk about on this Russia bounty story. But actually, the Iran news is actually a great place, an important place to start. So Iran has issued an arrest warrant, not just for the president, for like 30 American officials, for the death of General Soleimani. So to remind you, General Soleimani was the head of the Quds Force, which is the paramilitary arm of the Iranian government. They actually run around the region fomenting violence, all kinds of illegal acts, and terrorism. He was actually in Iraq, in a foreign country, plotting terrorist attacks against the United States government. And what the president did was treat him like any other terrorist, state sponsored or otherwise. He ordered an attack on him because he was a direct threat to Americans. From an Iranian perspective, this is just, you know, politics. It's posturing. They're going after Trump. So we can put all that aside. But this actually links to the Russia story, because the whole premise of the New York Times story was the president knew that the Russians were trying to kill American soldiers, and he didn't care because he was being nice to Putin or whatever. So let's look at what we actually know about how this president operates, because the Iran instance is the closest thing we have to that. So in this case, the Iranian government was directly trying to kill Americans, which, by the way, they also tried to do under Obama and Bush. But look what Trump did. When Trump got confirmed intelligence about what was going on, and the intelligence was actionable, and he could do something about, what did he do? He took the guy out. And what's really funny is many of the same people who are attacking the president now were the same ones who attacked him for going after Soleimani. Which really leads you to believe that this has nothing to do with really getting to the fact. Because the reality is when American soldiers are threatened, this president has stood up for the soldiers and had their back. I mean, and that's, I think, how we should start when we look at the Russia story.
Jim Carafano is leading expert in national security and foreign policy at Heritage. Jim, Putin and Trump are the narrative has been that these two guys are in bed together. No way. Now Putin is paying to have American troops killed in Afghanistan because they're not. They're enemies. So the narrative seemed to make absolutely no sense given whatever day it is. What in your expertise does Putin actually think of America under Trump?
Well, he wants America to fail, and Trump is actually a big problem. So here's the thing about this story is, do we disbelieve that the GRE, which is the paramilitary arm of the Russian government, put out bounties on Americans? We don't think that's impossible. The Soviets used to do that stuff all the time. Putin uses many of the exact same tactics. So we don't doubt it might not be true. Why would they do that? Because in Afghanistan, where actually they'd be better off with a stable Afghanistan, because Putin actually wants America to fail. So the reality is Putin treats us like an enemy, and he treats Trump like an enemy. And while Trump is nice to him, he's nice to him in a way that every other leader is nice to him. They'd like to offer an off-ramp for him to stop. Macron recently, for example, offered to have two talks with Putin. Nobody accused him of treason. So I think, to your fundamental point, Russia sees the United States as an enemy, and it treats us like as such. U.S. policy actually treats Russia like an enemy.
I want to ask you a little bit about how Adam Schiff is talking here. Listen to what he says here.
I shared the concern at the White House today that I think many of us have, which is there may be a reluctance to brief the president on things he doesn't want to hear. And that may be more true with respect to Putin and Putin's Russia than with respect to any other subject matter. Many of us do not understand his affinity for that autocratic ruler who means our nation ill.
So Adam Schiff here is saying that the president has an affinity for the autocratic ruler in Russia, Putin. And I was listening today to a pundit on Fox News who is a progressive say that the president needs to come out and say exactly where the American position is on Russia. It kind of makes me chuckle inside because if you look at what the president has done with sanctions and the way Donald Trump has employed policy against Russia, if you looked at what has actually been done, you would see how this president feels about the Russian leader. It seems to me that it's the leftist media that is out there right now that is constantly trying to put doubt in Americans' mind as to where America's position is in proximity to Russia.
So listen very closely to Schiff's words. Right. And the contrast with the New York Times, the New York Times says the president was briefed, which makes it sound like, oh, he didn't do anything about it. Now, we get information the president was briefed. So what does Schiff do? He says, oh, well, the president probably wasn't briefed because he doesn't want to hear that. Does he have any evidence for that? No. So there's a link here. I mean, these are clearly arguments designed to indict the president. They're not arguments actually based on fact and U.S. policy.
Jim Carafano, how is all of this information constantly getting out about our national security? I mean, do we actively have people in our government that are working to get this stuff out to make Trump look bad? I mean, that's what it seems like.
Well, that's obviously true because we know for a fact there was intelligence gathered about this. And there is an ongoing intelligence assessment going on about it. I mean, I think it's the whole point is if the president had confirmable action on intelligence, he would act on it, but he doesn't because the process is still going on. So obviously somebody leaked that, but which is not right because it's classified intelligence. So somebody committed a crime. But what's equally bad is that both media and critics and his political opponents are actually trying to use this against the president. Let's go back and look at the New York Times article for just a second. They said the president was briefed. Does anywhere in that article say we called the White House and we asked them if the president was briefed and they declined to comment or they said no? What the New York Times is doing is the opposite of what people like Woodward and Bernstein did back in the day, even though Woodward and Bernstein are the first to defend these journalists. When Woodward and Bernstein went to their source of, you know, Deep Throat, the deputy director of the FBI, they didn't just run out and publish. They actually try to confirm everything he said. The New York Times is not doing that. What they're doing is they're taking whatever they get, and then they're creating a story around that to attack the president. That's not journalism. That's advocacy. Well, it is a kind of journalism. It's not objective journalism like we would expect from the New York Times or the Washington Post in the days of Woodward and Bernstein. They are literally taking leaks and using them to attack the president, and they're doing it deliberately.
I wanted to ask you real quick before we let you go about the EU reopening its borders, the United States still not included in those 14 nations that can travel freely. Is this something that is a surprise to you or is this to be expected?
No, I think it's to be expected. Look, we did it to them. I mean, I for one, think that public health should be in the hand of governments and governments should make the decision that's in the best interest of their people. So whereas would have, you know, any European that whined about the United States closing our borders, I would say we had a perfect right to do that. And the Europeans have a perfect right to do that. Here's the problem of the Europeans. If you look at countries like Italy, for example, 65% of their business is tourism. you know, at some point, the lack of American tourists is really going to hurt European economic recovery. So that's one they kind of got to figure out.
Yeah, and time will certainly tell. Jim, thank you so much for coming on with us today. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. We look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.